in order for us to move forward in our spiritual journey and in life, it is important that we accept where we are. Acceptance does not mean I want to stay here. Because if you are not in a good place, if you are being challenged, you want things to transform. But in order for that transformation to take place, in order for that progress, you have to accept, okay, this is my situation, this is where I am. So acceptance means this is where I am. And now I choose to move in the direction of my deepest, urgent longing of my heart. I remember when this thing first came to me years ago. Somebody had come for prayer. Though they were raised as a Christian, but they feel like fish out of water. Christianity wasn't serving them. So they went for Buddhism, but at the same time, they were still having some issues. And Spirit said, I am God, I'm in everything. In order for you to move on, for Buddhism to serve you, you have to accept your upbringing, your Christianity. You don't condemn it. You accept it. You see the good in it. Yeah, it might no longer serve you because that's what Spirit wants. Spirit wants you to expand your horizon. And the reason you are having challenges there is because you've not accepted who you are, where you are. So for a change to happen, one must first make peace with the present situation. We must drop the blame, the guilt, the shame. And we must drop that what if. Because there's a lot of what if that choke and limit. So, in order to grow, that unconditional acceptance needs to be present. So, here's a question for us. Are you content with what you have? Or are you always wanting what you don't have? Perhaps you have lost something, maybe your job, an opportunity, or a precious possession. Sometimes there's something that maybe is handed over to us, maybe it's a what they call family loom and all of that. Perhaps we have lost someone. A spouse, a friend, or a business colleague. Things happen. They may have passed on physically, they died. A situation arises where there's disruption in that relationship. Perhaps you and I are in that space or feeling lost and don't know what to do next. The first thing and the only thing one can really do at that moment, whatever your situation may be, is accept where you are. Embrace that present reality. Okay, this is my reality. Walking the spiritual path doesn't mean we bury our head in the sand. You have to face that reality. Whether we like it or not, life will go on as long as there's someone to sing, to dance, to tell stories, and to listen. Oren Lyons said that. If we don't accept, we don't progress. But life still goes on. We might as well accept so that then we can move on and attain the deepest longing of our hearts. So what does the scripture actually say about this? And I'm not limiting it to Christianity, so please pay attention here. Scriptures across major world religions teach that true peace comes from accepting where you are, anchoring your mind in the present moment. I think sometimes we've taken it, it's become a cliche, present moment, present moment. But it's not a cliche. And trusting the natural unfolding of life rather than fighting against reality. That's why they say accept that. And like I said, it doesn't mean you stay there. It means you will move on. So Christianity says, and of course, we can't talk about Christianity without quoting Jesus. Jesus said, accept the present as a gift. Jesus said this to his followers and to grant themselves in the here and now. That is in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. You heard me read that. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Whenever I think about it, because each day has its own challenges. So leave tomorrow alone. Face what you face, and then tomorrow will come. Then Apostle Paul, who we know as Saul, who was later, who was crucified the disciple, he reflects on the spiritual freedom of accepting his own circumstances. So he wrote in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Accept it, then things changes might come. In Buddhism, they talk about letting go of resistance. Let's just use the word. The gospel or the teaching of Buddhism teaches that suffering arises when we cling to the past or anxiously desire a different future. Acceptance means letting go of cravings and fully inhabiting the present by releasing the need for things to be other than they are. You find liberation by releasing the things, the need for things to be other than they are. That might happen tomorrow, but right now, yeah, you find liberation. In the teaching of mindfulness in Buddhism, the Satipatthana Sutta emphasizes the practice of being fully aware of your current state. No, don't bury your head in the sand. Your body, feelings, and mind, exactly as it is without judgment. And in Hinduism, it talks about detachment from outcomes. In the Bhagavad Gita, talking about the concept of Karma Yoga, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 7, 47, it states, "You have a right to perform your prescribed duty." This thing has always been mine. You have the right, just like here in the States, in our country, you have the right. You have the right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. The one who determines that is the one sometimes you ignore. You say, "Well, God is not with me. God is somewhere else." True peace comes from accepting your current duty and performing it well, unattached to what the outcome will be. In Islam, in the Qadr, which they call the divine decree, the Quran teaches that everything happens according to Allah's perfect timing and wisdom. No matter how great you are, you can't be greater than your creator. Only God knows what time and when and how. Acceptance involves trusting that your current position is meant for your ultimate spiritual growth. So in the Quran, the Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 216, this is what it says to remind followers, "But perhaps you hate a thing and it is good for you. And perhaps you love a thing and it is bad for you. And Allah knows why you know not." In Taoism, in case you don't know about Tao, it starts from the Chinese culture. The flow of nature, it says, Wu Wei. The Tao Te Ching teaches the principle of Wu Wei, which translates to effortless action or non-resistance. It encourages practitioners to accept the natural flow of the universe rather than swimming against the current. By aligning with the way things are right now, this moment, you conserve your energy and find perfect balance. Because wishing for tomorrow, you're just wasting the energy. Wishing for the past that has already gone, oh, I wish it. You're wasting the energy. Here's a little story, but then there's a major story that I will at the end of this to back it up. Someone has just been promoted, and after a couple of months, they were really stressed out. Because sometimes we want, oh, I want this. And then it's like, oh my gosh. So this is what that person says. I remember about 20 years ago when I had my first promotion. And after a couple of months, I was really stressed out. We had safety issues, environmental challenges, production breakdowns, high cost, and the list went on and on and on and on. I was working hard and long hours trying to resolve all these things in our department, but but could never seem to get ahead. One day, I was having lunch with a friend who was and had been a leader for much longer than I, but didn't seem to get so anxious and worried. So, and I asked him how he did it. He said to me, picture your list of problems or challenges as a stack of books, maybe 40 high. If you work extremely hard, you might get the pile down to 30. And if you work not so hard, it might climb to 50. But the secret is that the pile will never go down to zero. Once you accept that fact, you will feel more peaceful. And he was absolutely right. Because you working out to get it to zero, you're wasting energy. You are not in a place of balance. So accept the situation. So the theme of acceptance is a key to understanding spiritual growth and peace of mind. We all know about the prodigal son. Although in the scriptures they say, when he came to himself, I'm not going to read the whole story. When he came to himself, in other words, the translation, when he came to his senses, we see he finally realizes and accepts his situation and decides to ask for forgiveness from his father and start his life anew. And then secondly in that story, if you haven't read it, go and read it. Secondly in that story, we see the beautiful image of the father running to his son while he's still far off down the road, isn't it? Although we know what the older brother felt. The father was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. The father showed his son that he was accepted back no matter what he did. No questions were asked, no judgments were given, no lectures, just love and acceptance. Until we do that, we start criticizing ourselves. So accept yourself for who you are. Acceptance is a very powerful word in the spiritual life. Let's break it down in three keys. We need to accept that we're not perfect and that we need God in our lives. That is number one. So we know, like I've said before, acceptance is defined as living in the present moment, allowing the situation to be what it is, and recognize it. And we can also learn from the, what's it called, Alcoholics Anonymous. In one of their powerful quotes, he says, acceptance is the answer to my problems today. I'm quoting them verbatim. I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation has been exactly the way it is supposed to be. And I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitude. Quote unquote. Because many times, what causes us stress is we don't have things the way we want or think they should be. And so this quote reminds us that the world doesn't have to change for us, but we have to change our perception and accept the present state instead. How can you heal someone when you've not healed yourself? Physician, heal thyself. Then Jesus said, stop worrying about your neighbors or your friends, you know, the speck in their eyes. Take out the log in yours first, and then you'll be able to see clearly. If you've ever been to the Catholic Church or you've hung around Catholics, you will recognize what I'm about to say right now. Because in one of the, I call this like a mantra. I mean, when you hear it, you say, oh, you don't have to be a Catholic to be able to repeat that kind of prayer or that affirmation. The Catholics recognizes themselves as imperfect people. So during Mass, that means during their worship. This is what they say. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. I love that part. In what I have done, what I have failed to do. It shows you are not perfect. You can't get everything done. You can go Google and get the rest of it. By that, it is accepting who they are and to humbly move forward, and knowing this, they then invite God in to help them. That's why they say, I confess to Almighty God. They start with that. And to you, my brothers and sisters. Oh, Dada, yeah, I've messed up big time. But in order for me to go on, then by that confession, by accepting, then life, you know, then now I'm renewed to transform myself. And I will continue because in that Catholic faith, because they were part of my upbringing. They also, in that prayers and affirmations and part of their liturgy, they accept that we are children of God despite all our faults and failures and failings. We remember Pope Francis, may God bless his soul. He says this at one time, God's love is free. He asks for nothing in return. All he wants is for his love to be accepted. God didn't say, okay, go and bring me $1 billion before. No. Look. I will always love you no matter, even if you are bad to the bone. Bad boys, bad boys, bad girls, bad. No. And if you accept that love, then you will see all these shenanigans we do, we wipe it off. God does not force us, blackmail us, push us, or twist our arms to love him. He or she gives us the choice, and we are called to choose to accept that love each day and each moment. We should love each day and each moment. We may not feel we are worthy of that love, but God loves us anyway. How many guys say, well, Lord, I don't know. Why are you even bothering me, Lord? I'm not a saint. You know, I'm not like Jesus. Then how can you love me? You know what I just did? That is the mind tricking us to create dualism, to separate us from the true love of God. We've all heard about baptism, you know, because when you are baptized, it's a recognition of offering yourself back to your Creator. Say, aha, I'm a child of God. I'm one with the one who created me, who gave me breath, who gave me life, who is light in me. So let's say, for example, a child is baptized today. Let's say her name is Linda or Sheree. So we have that baptism today, and Linda or Sheree will be accepted into our community of faith as a child of God. Now, we may not remember our baptisms if you come from that part where they baptize. But we can each claim this same title of child of God. For that is what we are. Because that is what baptism is about. Then when we accept this fact, we can praise God like we did in the book of Psalm. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Go and read it yourself. Psalm 34. I love that. Here's what one of the sentences. I will bless the Lord at all times. My mouth makes its boast in the Lord. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. When he said, I will bless the Lord, he's claiming that one ship with God. I'm that child of God. I will bless the Lord. The entire psalm is positive. I mean, I can just go on. That would be, you know. It is positive. It is thankful. It is joyful for what God has done for us, and because we know we are accepted and loved. God didn't want anything from us. So in order for us to continue to grow in our spiritual life and to transform our life, the three keys: to accept that we are not perfect and that we need God in our lives. Remember, I called the alcoholic anonymous, and I confessed to all my dads one. To accept that we're children of God despite our faults and failings. That's why I talk about Pope Francis. God's love is free. Then the third one is to accept that others aren't perfect either. And we accept them for who they are and where they are. So all that criticism and all that throwing flame of judgment and all of that. Because when we can accept God's love and accept that we are children of God, then we can accept others who are the same. You're not the only child. Although people tend to claim that Jesus Christ is the only child of God. That's not what I know. The same God, the Father and Mother of Jesus, is the same God, my father and mother, same for all of us. Now, St. Francis of Sales, or maybe Sales, this is what he says so beautifully. It is a great part of our holiness to bear with one another in our imperfections. For there is no better way of showing our own love to our neighbor. When you accept them unconditionally, then that means you love them. and that you are the embodiment of love. And I'm going back to Apostle Paul, they call him St. Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20, this is what he said. We are a new creation, and we are ambassadors for Christ. Knowing that we are accepted and loved, we can tell others without any sense of judgment or being better than others. You are not better than them. You may have attained level, eventually they will attain that level and even surpass it. So don't look down on anybody, accept them. Don't look down on yourself, accept yourself. And don't look down on nature either. Because we know Jesus accepted and ate and welcomed sinners and tax collectors, don't we? Telling us this is the way we should live. Jesus didn't claim, oh, okay, I'm higher above you, so I don't want to have anything to do with you. It doesn't work like that. So how do we mirror this example of Jesus in our daily lives? How do we accept ourselves as weak, imperfect Christians or spiritualists on whatever path you follow and make the world a better place? How do you do that? This part I'm about to read is because we just celebrated our 250th years birthday in our country here. If you are a parent, as we all know, as parents, we are called to accept our children's faults and failings and love them unconditionally. Although sometimes I wish parents would wake up. It's like, look, yeah, I accept them, but don't try and, you know, cover them like, no, they need to grow. I remember on a walk, and these two young girls, they could be what, 14 or so, or maybe 16, went around the neighborhood spraying cans on people's fences. And I couldn't go for that. Anyway, cut the long story short, they were running because they didn't know what will this man do to them. And the mother and the brother came. And I said, look, they are destroying people's property. And what did the mother, where they are, you know, their kids, instead of you telling your kids they shouldn't do that, because if that's your property, will you allow somebody to vandalize it? So yeah, we accept our children's faults and failings and all of them conditions, but at the same time, teach them. As immigrants, which 99% of our families are, we are called to accept our role in the treatment of the indigenous people of this land in truth and work to be reconciled with them. That's why, as we're celebrating yesterday, some of them don't feel being celebrated. They are strangers in their own land. I was reflecting on that. How many Native Americans do we know who are super billionaires? I bet you, if they were accepted and treated equally, there would be some of them. How many of them has run for governorship in this country or president? We must not forget that even as we celebrate, because we know our country is not perfect, but we must not ignore other things. Just like a parent, accept the feelings of your children, but don't encourage them. As citizens, we are called to accept new refugees, immigrants, and migrants with open arms and help them enjoy our great country, free from persecution, fear, poverty, and lack of opportunity. Because if they had it in their country, they wouldn't be coming here. I mean, we thank God this country with the freedom, we can go anywhere without being thrown to jail just because you decide, I don't agree with what the government is saying. In some countries, they don't have that. As fellow human beings, we are called to accept those who identify as LGBTQ. I'm going to quote Pope Francis again, God bless his soul. Told their parents. This is what Pope Francis told the LGBTQ parents. God loves your children as they are. And the church loves your children as they are because they are children of God. Therefore, when we fly the rainbow flag at our schools, it is because we accept all of our brothers and sisters as children of God. God doesn't discriminate. As friends and family, we are called to accept that we may carry grudges and hurt ourselves. And knowing this, we try and reach out and build bridges of peace and love with one another. Because sometimes within the same family, you don't agree, you know. But it doesn't mean they are not children of God. You work it out. And that no matter what the grudges we carry or hurt, we accept one another, accept the situation, accept where you are, and let love reign. We are not perfect, and yet we still love more than we can ever deserve by God. Once we accept that, that in spite of our imperfection, that is a fact, God still loves us, we will feel more peaceful. Now, to end up with the story that led to all of that, there's always a story that leads to all of that. And here's the story. Once upon a time, a young man on a bicycle ride around the world stopped in a West African village to help build a bakery. We've heard stories like that, people who go out and serve in developing countries. It took several months to build the bakery. They made bricks from crushed ant hills. They're like mud, you know, if you've ever gone to a, but make sure the ant hills don't bite you because you will wish you were not there. So they made bricks from crushed ant hills. Every day the village children came to help. None of the kids had shoes, but one happy little girl always wore one sock. Instead of socks, he just wore one sock. No shoes, just a sock. He was about 10 years old. So they nicknamed him One Sock. One day, someone curious asked, "One Sock, tell me about this one sock you always wear." He said proudly, "My mom washes it every night and I wear it every day." "Yes, but why do you wear one?" the other continued. Then One Sock seemed surprised by this silly question and then smiled broadly and said, "Because I only have one." Do we get this? He accepts where he is. Tomorrow he might have two, he might have a full set of socks, but at that moment, that is it, because I only have one. So For him, it didn't even occur that that was strange. That's why it was sort of like, why are you asking strange questions? Because normal people were too. May we be blessed and filled with divine wisdom to accept our situation where we are, and that